Welcome to the Battleground Wisconsin. My name is Matt Brusky, and I'm the Deputy Director here at Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and welcome to the holidays. We hope everybody who's listening has wonderful holidays over the next week or so and able to spend time with family and friends and hopefully recharge batteries and be thankful for all your loved ones. But I am joined, before we get to that glorious break, by Robert Craig, our executive director here at Citizen Action. Robert, good to have you for our final installment of the Battleground Wisconsin this year.
Good to be with you, Matt, on the final of 2023. And the next time we're talking, it will be the pivotal year 2024.
Yes, 2024, huge election. We're going to talk more about that later in the show. We're going to talk about President Biden's visit to Milwaukee and all of the news around the presidency and the election next year. And let's just say it, the significant vulnerability currently of President Biden. And we'll talk more about that. But we got a lot of things and we want to talk about. Robert, I do want to start the show by talking about the third congressional district forum, since we are, as you said, we're just a couple weeks from 2024. And we got started early here at Citizen Action this past Sunday with the 2024 election, with a really big forum for the third congressional district, which is in western Wisconsin, essentially all the way down from the southwest Driftless area through La Crosse up on the eastern side, going up to Stevens Point, and then on the northwest side, touching up into the Eau Claire area and over to the Mississippi. So it is a very large district, formerly a seat held by Ron Kind, a moderate Democrat from the La Crosse area. He retired a couple years ago, and we lost that election, that seat. Democrats, I should say, lost that seat 2 years ago to Derek Van Orden. And so it is going to be a huge, huge reelection for him. And as I think most people know, that is the time most congressional members are most vulnerable, their first reelect. And often, if you do not beat someone, they can become an incumbent that's very challenging to beat. So this is a critically important race. And we are also fortunate to have four really good candidates, qualified candidates, for different reasons, challenging Derek Van Orden. And so we were able to have a forum this Sunday night with all four of the main challengers to Derek Van Orden. And it was great. We had hundreds of members on, members asking questions, participating in this event. Robert, I want to get your reaction. You were obviously there listening and, of course, got the event going with good sort of laying out how important this is. But Robert, I want to get your thoughts. What did you know? What's your takeaway on not necessarily just what you thought per se, but just this race, this precipice that we're at, the importance of this, and anything you would want to pass on to our listeners about this?
Well, I'll just talk about the stakes in the race. I were in an endorsement process, so I will not speak about how each candidate performed. That's for members are voting. Our board will be considering it. We're looking at other factors as well, like questionnaires and independent conversations with the, and seeing how the candidates actually campaign.
And we want you all to listen. And so yep. We won't prejudge it per se on how they performed. It is, we'll have a link. We want you all to watch it if you haven't. It's excellent discussion. And then we are have a survey we want you to fill out where you give us your thoughts, because we care deeply about that. Robert?
Yeah, and you won't find a more democratic endorsement process. We're a statewide membership organization. It's all in public in light of day. Our board makes the final decision based on a lot of information. And we have three membership chapters or organizing co-ops within the third congressional district, and had massive, and the hundreds that were on our specific Zoom feed don't include all the people on Facebook Live and all the people that will watch later, because it's captured. You can go rewatch it on Facebook. But that's one thing, just that what member candidates coming and taking positions, we ask them eight very substantive questions, specific policies, because all candidates can be briefed up to give their story of self in a way that says that because of who they are, somehow they would serve us better. How they're going to serve us really is judged by what they will fight for when they were in Congress. And that is what you will see here, a very substantive debate, and not a lot of the non-issues that the journalist-driven debates often revolve around, just whatever's hot and whatever's clickbait, as opposed to whatever personal attack has been made, et cetera. So that's one thing. The second thing is we now have a three-vote majority with former Speaker McCarthy's resignation and the demise of George Santos. And this is one of the races that determines who controls the House. I think we can all see how devastating it is to have right-wing MAGA control of the House of Representatives. And if Biden can be reelected, what he can do in a second term with further accomplishments depends upon this. And then, of course, who it is, whether they're pushing in a progressive direction, joining the Congressional Progressive Caucus, moving for making healthcare a right, actually addressing the climate crisis for real, which means cutting emissions in half the next 6 years, not running around saying that you believe in climate change and we had this little thing and this little thing that's not doesn't cut it anymore. And so that is what we are looking at. And we do have three highly qualified candidates. And I'll just say about the candidates, since I don't want to put my finger on the scale here at all, they're all Lake Wobegon candidates. They're all above average.
Yeah, there you go. Robert, one thing that you said that if you haven't had a chance to watch the forum, I when you do, pay attention to this. These are going to be whoever, if they win, right? Let's say somebody comes out and they beat Derek Van Orden. They are going to be a freshman in Congress. They're not going to be leading Congress. They're not going to be writing bills, leading caucuses. How they vote matters. What they support and are willing to support matters. It's not enough what you were saying for them to tell us what they would like to see on climate change or what they would like to see on healthcare. The reality is there are bills out there. There are bills that have been worked on, thought through a lot, that are waiting, and will they support them or not? So it's important to listen to whether they say yes or no to very specific policy that isn't, whatever they did at the local level or at the state or what they think they should be doing. These are the bills, or there will be bills very much like them in 2 years, and you will either be supporting them or not. And so that's very important when you watch this to understand that that's a uniqueness about Congress is there is a certain amount of, are you going to work with the Democrats? Are you going to work with the Progressive Caucus, as Robert said, to try and push the envelope? These are all very important things. So please watch the forum, fill out the survey. We want to hear from you. As Robert said, all of this data is going to our board who will make this decision. It's very important for our board. They want to know where folks from the 3rd Congressional District, where our members are at and what people think. That information is important. So please, please, folks, as Robert said, go watch the forum, fill out the survey, let us know what you think. Huge opportunity. And if we can get behind one candidate, we would like to do that. We think it's important. Robert, any final thoughts before we move on?
Yeah, we think that the issues we stand for, the big structural reform issues, benefit from us making a primary endorsement of this candidate that really is better. Okay, and then that's where there is more power and influence. The general election is a much more expensive operation. This is a discussion among Democrats and independents who would vote in a Democratic primary. And maybe some Republicans who are really independents, but call themselves Republican because they're old-time Republicans or something. And so but we have to actually have that candidate. And we're not at a point of being able to tell you that our board has made any such assessment, but that's the goal, that's the ideal.
Well, again, folks, watch that. Please fill out the survey. Let's get ready. 2024 is right around the corner. Robert, speaking of that, President Biden was in town in Milwaukee yesterday. We record on Thursday. This is the second time he's been here in the last 6 months. And he's, of course, in town talking about a lot of the things, you know, that were passed a couple years ago, right? The Inflation Reduction Act, the Infrastructure Act, things that have made, you know, significant investments that are still playing out. And one could argue, you know, still having a major impact on the economy and where the economy's at. But Robert, President Biden comes to town into Milwaukee with really not good poll numbers nationally. He's been trailing Trump nationally for a while now. Here in Wisconsin, depending on what poll you look at, it's tight. It's the Marquette poll had Biden with a slight lead, but it's all margin of error. Another poll has Trump. We're essentially what we know, a close race. But by all counts, that's kind of shocking given what I want to get your comments on. Trump, the opponent, had just quite the week, right? I want your thoughts on what happened this week with the 14th Amendment decision in Colorado, which basically is going to leave a Trump off the primary ballot. So, Robert, your thoughts on this, and just and then also just put this, I want to put this in context of where President Biden is at, and talk more about that. And if we can, right, like the situation that's going on, the other big noteworthy thing about his visit, situation with Palestine and Israel, lots of protesters for Biden's visit, you know, basically saying that Biden can't be the candidate because of this and because of his support thus far for the Israeli approach to what's been going on in that war. So, Robert, I want to get your thoughts on this. This is a lot. And we will go into the next segment, Robert.
So got a minute in this segment. So let me just say, begin to say, because you had, there were so many elements to your excellent question, Matt, that on the question of why he's talking about his investments, I just want to land. This is it's well known the threat to the mechanisms of democracy, whether presidents concede and hand over power gracefully or not, happened miraculously at the first American election in the 18th century. In every single one since, obviously the winning streak was broken with Donald Trump. The other part of the crisis, though, is that people don't know what their government does. And how can you have responsive government where the public is in a position to judge how candidates, how elected officials, including presidents, perform if they don't actually know what was done and it's all reduced to mass propaganda, which is 30-second spots and what's on social media? And so that's the challenge President Biden is trying to address. So I know we have to go to break, but I can get on the other side.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Battleground Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Battleground Wisconsin. We're Citizen Action. You can find us at citizenactionwi.org, where when you go there, you need to sign up and become a member. If you are not, please join Citizen Action Wisconsin. Robert.
So I talked about the risk to democracy that people do not know. How would they judge how good a performance of a president was if everything is so messed up in our polluted communication environment and the policy is so complicated because of the way the United States government has evolved over the last 75 years into this thing that, you know, that even very educated people have trouble following what's what and what's moving where? It's a real problem, and therefore people aren't able to make assessments. There are, and here's what he is trying to land. There are serious legitimate grievances within our base, the Democratic base, concerning his performance on foreign policy in the Middle East and in Gaza, which is top of mind right now, immigration reform, for example, Although we tried, his failure to actually fully deliver student debt relief, though he did try to do that one, and the political right-wing Supreme Court stepped in. The problem is, and this will not be fully landed by the next election, but a progress is critical. This is one of the most successful domestic presidencies in its first 2 years in American history. He actually moved to what we lo lost the last 50 years and drove income inequality and racial equality. That is, there was a neoliberal approach where we just let the market decide. He is engaged in industrial policy, deciding what is actually in the common interest for average people, for people left out of the economy, and the transition we need to make on climate. And he made historic, first time in American history, biggest move in world history by many projections because of the importance of the US and the climate crisis on climate change. A lot to be landed there. He wants to do more, but that is huge. And it's not getting the credit it's due because here's the thing about not just our base, Democratic leaders, most politicians, people we're talking to, opinion leaders, people actively involved, everyone. And that is, we admit on our side there's a climate crisis, we need to do something. We're not taking seriously the magnitude of the deadline, cutting emissions in half, doing a massive economic transition, which is doable and manageable, but has to be done within 6 years by 2030, and being clear about policy that would do it, not just good sounding titles that don't really do it. And he actually is trying to do that, and it actually encompasses all other issues. This is not what needs to get landed. If there is runaway climate change, it will be climate change is racist. It will be mostly black and brown people. I mean, hundreds of millions and billions dying for carbon that they did not put in the atmosphere, that most of the atmosphere carbon was put by rich white people in Europe and the United States. The United States alone is 25% of the carbon up there. And by the way, the global warming is caused by all the carbon we ever produce, not a number right now, right? So China and India are tiny comparatively, and even Democrats are complicit in allowing this to continue. If you think there's a bad immigration situation now driving right-wing movements, wait till we have billions of refugees rather than the current number and think about what our politics are like, let alone what the misery is like. And it's, again, mostly black and brown people in the Southern Hemisphere who did not cause this crisis. So I just want to say that it's never good. There are other issues that matter to people and ought to, but this isn't getting its due. And it overwhelms everything else. Middle East stability, what will happen, the genocide in terms of war if we have runaway global warming, way worse than anything we're imagining right now. So I just think there needs to be a come to Jesus realization here. And Biden's trying, he will not land it fully, but he is trying to be clear on what he's actually done and the billions that has not moved since the 1960s have moved under him, and it's like it's the biggest secret in American politics, and it still will be, but progress is critical. Then there's the other pieces of viability we'll talk about, I'm sure, Matt, as we
Yeah,
have
well,
this conversation.
but Robert, I think part of the bigger problem here, right, is Biden has done that stuff, and I have conversations with a lot of my progressive friends about this. And a lot of folks don't really understand or appreciate, the scope, or to put it in comparison, to what hasn't happened prior to, say, the Inflation Reduction Act, or just the massive amounts of money between the ARPA funds, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the infrastructure bill that is just pulsing through, right? It is worth noting, right, that this is a rare moment. There's new numbers coming out. This is a rare, rare moment, like 50 years, where folks at the bottom, lower ends of the income are actually, for the first time, seeing there's actually a small decrease in the gap of income inequality because of the massive pressure upwards on wages of working folks over the last few years. However, given what most working people have experienced for the last 40 years, it's just not enough people feel this. It's just it's and a lot of the surplus, not surplus, the stimulus and things that were pushed in during COVID, that stuff is gone, right? And so we're kind of getting back to sort of a core economy that, often leaves people way behind in some ways. So they're not feeling, I don't think they don't feel the success, plus the continued talk of inflation, I think, perverts people's perception of how the economy is. And so there's a lot of head scratching for folks who support Biden as to like why he's not getting more credit. I mean, I think that's a lot of it, in addition to most people just don't necessarily feel all of that money right away. That doesn't impact them in the same way. And so I think that that's hard. But Robert, look, I want to get your comments on Colorado. I really do because, yeah, okay.
Let me just say one other thing to what
You
you
bet.
said when we get to
Yeah.
Colorado. Sorry. And that is, this is the breakdown in democracy that people don't know. And it's not only that even our side is not actually acting like it's an existential threat. They're acting like, oh, I've done my part, I'm on the right side ism. But think about the child tax credit. He cut poverty in half and tried to keep it. Only the Senate filibuster and Manchin and Sinema prevented it. And people didn't even realize, because of the complexity, it just came out automatically in their taxes. Who did it, and who was in the way of it, and that every Republican was against it, and that we could have it again because this president has said he will do it if he has the votes to do it. It's like nobody knows, and so we have that as well. Land that is a threat to democracy, and it's all the propaganda. It's the way the media and social media is covered. It's also just it's too goddamn complex. We need to simplify government. In the New Deal, you did a big program, and it was really visible, and you saw what was happening. Now it's all through these archaic structures. The Inflation Reduction Act is moving through thousands of different structures that we're spending with coalition partners and with the city of Milwaukee and the school board of Milwaukee massive amounts of time trying to figure out, let alone the average voter.
Yeah. No, look, huge problem, right? That complexity. And it's just not felt by regular folks. And we don't have a communication media system that helps really provide any sort of clarity there. And so, and let's again, you can't have 40, 50 years of real economic inequality and have a couple years starting to address that and have regular folks disconnected. Really understand that, feel it, and be able to attribute who's responsible for helping them, right? Like that's a challenge that Biden faces, when there's still real hurt and pain out there, right? Let's not forget that. Robert, I do want to talk about the 14th Amendment decision in Colorado because I think this is important. You and I have a slightly different take on this, or I don't know, maybe a very different take on this. Well, I'll just start. I have no doubt. Like, it blows my mind that anyone would even think Donald Trump is fit for presidency. And it just blows my mind, right, in many ways that we're even here where we are. But you know what? My mind was blown years ago, and I've come to accept that. What I am deeply concerned about is that these kinds of decisions are now coming a year out from an election where he's clearly the front runner for the Republican Party. He's leading in most polls. This seems like a late effort to just sort of like use a legal system to not allow people to vote. Even if, no doubt, look, I have no doubt this guy shouldn't be running, but we've got lots of states who have already made decisions that they're going to put him on the ballot. And so now we have one state that comes out and says they're not going to put him on. I just think it's damaging. Damaging because it makes it look like Democrats are trying to use the courts to not allow Trump to run, even though he's, quote, the most popular person, right? As opposed to let the people decide, let's have this election, and he should be beaten again and sent to the dustbins that way. Robert, tell me why this is completely wrong and what he did is such a violation that Colorado should be the state that steps up and does this, and by the way, if I'm correct, this is just the primary too, so it doesn't really stop him from being on the ballot in the general, which is really all that matters. But Robert, please, your thoughts.
It's not just the primary, but
I thought it was. I thought he just couldn't appear on the ballot for the
no.
primary. Okay.
So here's the thing. We gotta like get ourselves straight. We jump into horse race. Even you, Matt, who's much better than not at not doing that than most. We're sending very mixed signals. We have been understandably hard on Josh Call for not pursuing the fake electors, Merrick Garland for slow walking this whole thing around insurrection. We have a 14th Amendment that was put in place because you literally, the Confederates could have retaken over the country after losing the war and reinstated slavery. Because once you got rid of the three-fifths clause, you couldn't have this ability of Confederates to run for office with more voting power. So you had to disqualify them. And this is cut and dry legally. We get into that. And so I don't know what the motive of the people who brought the case was, right? But once it's in front of these judges, they actually followed the law, and they're facing, we see the threat of fascism here, death threats for having done so, and their personal information being published, and just this is the fascist script, and this is why a lot of Republicans have been afraid to cross Trump. They're afraid for their families and for their safety, and that is toxic to democracy. And so it puts the Supreme Court in a problematic situation. They have falsely and without good faith argued that everything they're doing is strict constructionism. It's been very selective when I think they can use it to advance a right-wing 21st century agenda. They do. When they don't, right? And they, but in this case, it's very clear. And the reasoning in the 200-page decision and the district court level on did he engage in insurrection was quite overwhelming. So here's what's going to happen. I don't think you have to worry about the horse race problem because the Supreme Court will find a technicality and dodge, and he'll be on the ballot. Let's face it, Colorado is not a battleground state, is a blue state. But this is really dangerous. We say on the one hand, he could win the election and end democracy, but then we shouldn't use in the law books, in the Constitution, supposedly the sacred document, thing that clearly disqualifies him from office.
Yeah,
And
but here's the thing,
so no
Robert. My
problem.
point, my beef isn't that that should have been done before. We took cracks. He was never impeached. There,
We
there's been
though,
efforts.
no one brought
There's
a
the
case.
attorney general has not charged him with insurrection, right? Like, but
Right,
yet
but
the state of Colorado will be the one to step in. Robert, it doesn't
that's not
matter
what's
whether it's
structured.
fact-based.
That's not
What
what
will happen? This
it's
will be portrayed. This will be portrayed
well.
as a end around since they couldn't actually do it. They did, and they've never actually charged the man with insurrection, but a court can find he was an insurrectionist,
So
right, in
would absolutely
Colorado.
everything we have advised Democrats to do to stand up. And if we either we talk about Republicans leaning into power, Democrats not, are you saying what are you
This is
saying?
the court
Because
system.
anyone
These
can
aren't the
bring
politicians.
anyone can bring a case, right? My question is, are you it wasn't ordered by the Biden campaign or by any unified
No,
Democrats,
I
right? Are you
understand. It doesn't
saying that they
matter.
should
That's
that
a
court
fact
should
that
make a
doesn't matter.
political calculation and decide that black letter law he should not be on the ballot and we're going to do it because we think it would be bad political consequences? And what are people going to say? Or then we get a grace if he wins the election and does what he says he's going to do. And so I don't think it's going to get him off the ballot. I still think he needs to be beaten. But my goodness, we're really, we can't like have the switch our pundit hat. And then our legal, we need to lean to our power and enforce the law on him because what Trump shows is the inequality of the justice system, where someone with money and means has no accountability for obvious, clear crimes, and the average poor black kid has to plead to something they didn't do
Robert, I
in
get all
order to
that.
avoid being put in jail for something they didn't do for a much longer time. That is our
That's
end.
not my, that's not my, you've already said you know the Supreme Court's going to come in and do this. So to me, all I care about is how this is going to play out. And I think it won't help us.
It's because they're political. It may not help us, but
It's
I
going to
don't
hurt
think.
us trying to be defeat Trump.
But it happened.
Yep, it did.
The other things you could argue, there were people, pundit types, arguing that Merrick Garland being more aggressive, that attorney generals being more aggressive on the false electors would have backfired. And
No,
it's slippery
it would if
slope.
he did it this year, if he had done it in a real
Okay.
time.
Well, I
Yeah.
just
That's
who you're.
my critique, Robert. All this stuff is happening now. Where was this 2 years ago
Are
when
you
this shit first
saying
happened? Where was the and there's been no accountability, right?
Can
It just.
we agree that the Supreme Court of Colorado did not decide the timing of this, looked
Correct.
at
I'm
the
not.
law and showed great courage, and we need to be very careful. We can say something as bad. Sometimes doing the right thing has bad repercussions. We should
Yes.
do anyway. And I don't know that we should give up on the 14th Amendment for one political calculation. We know the Supreme Court, they're politicians in robes, and he will not be off the ballots, and we still have to beat him, but at least one state and one Supreme Court had the guts to follow the U.S. Constitution, which is supposed to be our most
I hear
holy
you.
document, until it's not.
I hear you, Robert. My beef is not with the Colorado court. It's with that this is how this is playing out, right? Like, this isn't going to work for us. This is not going to help defeat Trump. It won't. And that's what I care about right now. If I thought that this case and what they did was going to help defeat Trump, then I would be for it. I am not questioning the legality, but Jesus Christ, this whole past since the insurrection has been a demonstration of the failure of this democracy to actually have any checks and balances. It's absurd, right? But that's where we're at. And so we're headed to an election where the truth of the matter is, and this is why it gets back to why we have got to understand we're going to have a serious election next year that's going to be, unless something radically changes, it's going to be Biden versus Trump, and it's going to, quite frankly, be whether we have a democracy after 4 years if Trump wins again. So I'm very concerned about it, and I just know that that court case is, it's not going to end up having him off the ballot. All it's going to do is fire up the other side. It just, again, our feckless legal system.
Let me just make sure we're agreeing, okay?
Yeah.
You're not saying the judges should have made a political calculation,
No,
okay?
not at
By the
all.
way, until someone's finally be on a ballot, this is not germane. So the only way to enforce the 14th Amendment, and this was intended this way, is at the time when they are filing for ballot access. That's why he struck off the primary ballot, the decision, but he would be eligible for the general election budget as well, ballot as well.
I'm
And
frustrated that
so,
this is the only accountability that's even existed for him, and
yes.
it comes out of
So
Colorado, and it comes in a way that will not actually lead to
it would have
accountability. It
been
will empower
better
him.
if immediately the new attorney general and attorney generals in the state around this country, all of them, some of them tried, did their jobs
Yes.
rather than relying. But obviously, once the case was brought, and because this is when you wouldn't have him on the ballot, he's not a candidate for president trying to get ballot access. So this is the only way the 14th Amendment can be
Right.
enforced. But let's face it, he should have been convicted for insurrection a year
Thank you.
and a half ago. And
Thank you.
that
That's
goes
my
on the
beef.
federal government. Okay.
That's my beef. Like, it's like we don't actually convict them in the right time with the attorney general, the right process. Instead, he gets convicted of ballot access problems for insurrection. It's like, what? He's not even been convicted
Think of
for
what
the
we're
actual
seeing.
charge that now he can't get ballot access. It's
I'm going to say
absurd.
something to agree with you. Legal experts say that a very strong case that he led an insurrection is in this decision, but our officials that would actually prosecute that never did.
And
Anyway.
that is why I'm pissed. And I think this is terrible. It won't work. It empowers him. It's not about that court. It's about the crappy legal, this democracy didn't function properly. And so all that's
I'll make
left
you feel
is
better.
the election.
I'll make you feel better. They're agitated, his base, the Republican base, much of which there's new polling that a very high percentage of it thinks he committed crimes and still is for him.
Yeah.
They're agitated by everything in all the other court cases. This won't really add to it that much. It's just, in other words, I don't, they're going to process this differently than all the other prosecutions, and it's going to make them what turn out in larger numbers than they already would have when there's news every week, like he's seeking immunity now. And that's so we have two things going to the SCOTUS right now: the immunity claim that he can never be prosecuted, which is holding up the special counsel's investigation of January 6th, and then this. And so all this is going to uniquely, because Colorado did this, supercharges base and they wouldn't have otherwise. I guess if you think that,
That's not, Robert, you're putting words in my mouth. I am not saying super. I'm saying this won't help us. And if you want to make the argument it will, you can. I don't think you can. I'm not suggesting this is the dagger that puts them in. I'm just saying this isn't helpful. It's
I'm saying
and all it does to me is
they're
further reveal that
not fact-based, and whether this happened or not is not going to impact his performance, because it's just another little piece in their broader narrative, which people are believing fact or no fact, on their side. So I don't think there's any group that moves uniquely because Colorado did this and then SCOTUS overturned it, which is what will happen on procedural grounds. The mystery is, what procedure will they find in order not to actually find the 14th Amendment has the meaning it clearly has?
You're listening to the Battleground Wisconsin with Citizen Action. Welcome back to the Battleground Wisconsin. You can find us at citizenactionwi.org and on social media. Robert, there's some union news this week that I want to get your thoughts on. Everybody knows we're a union shop. We're very pro-union here. The good folks at the True Stage Workers Union settled their contract this week. Want to give a big shout out to those workers who have been struggling for almost a year now in this contract fight, including a strike, a 2-week strike in this past summer. But congratulations, solidarity to you all is very important, and all the folks who got out help support them in the community. That's how you win a fight like this against a really, really tough employer who from the beginning was clear that they really wanted to try to break that union. And so solidarity to everyone. Congratulations to those folks. And then, Robert, want to get your comment on the lawsuit that's in the state Supreme Court around independent contractors. This is something we are very familiar with, both here at Citizen Action, but also both of us personally from our union organizing days, basically spending a lot of time trying to figure out how do you change laws so that folks who are classified, misclassified as independent contractors, it's a horrible, ridiculous job title that basically means you don't have the right to a union. You're not an employee of a large multinational corporation. In this case, it happens to be Amazon. Amazon has a number of employees that they have classified as independent contractors. And there's a lawsuit at the state Supreme Court that would change that. Robert, your thoughts on this? I know our president of our education fund and president of the state AFL-CIO, Stephanie Bloomingdale, has been in the media around this. And of course, this is a big issue for labor to continue to push back on this independent contractors. Robert.
And let me just say on unions, I've been spending this week in the archives. The State Historical Society has Citizen Action's records. It's our 40th anniversary. And we've been a union shop since the beginning. So, and you can't say that. I mean, there aren't very many nonprofits, social justice groups that are union shops, let alone they've been union shops for 40 years. And I hope that the kind host and producer can put the link to our March 11th party in Milwaukee, our 40th birthday party, in your notification so you all have it. Now, as far as the union news we have, True Stage, great job by the workers and the OPIU represent workers out in Madison. This is the former Kuna Mutual. The corporations like to rebrand so that you can't be mad at the old brand because they're now of a whole new name. I know Anthem Blue Cross is rebranding into something Eliance or something like that, or Elevance or something like that. So you were denied claims by Anthem Blue Cross, not by Elevance. Anyway, so what corporate America does is it finds ways to screw workers, screw unions, but workers generally. That's what all the bean counters are about, efficiency. So they can claim more profit for wealthy people. It's that simple. And raise their stock prices so massive stock options go to their CEOs and their senior staff. So part of what's great in True Stage is that what the former CUNA Mutual had moved all sorts of employees off of the union in different classifications and ways, and this curbs that and gets those folks, so they were trying to get them outside the union, then they can pay them differently and not actually have to negotiate over their wages. They also got wage and benefit increases they were seeking, which is great. And that puts us perfectly to Amazon. Groups like ours, nonprofit groups, we pay a fortune for employees, partly because we pay all of the employment taxes that go, so you have unemployment compensation, workers' comp, all of those things, and taxes back that can fund public education, other critical services that our legislature or gerrymandering won't fund, right? But corporations, and by the way, groups like ours that avoid that and overuse contractors, they get put out of business by the IRS all the time. But the Amazons of the world, they have, and the Ubers and Lyfts have teams of lawyers. And it's like Trump. There's no accountability, right? There's a two-tier justice system in employment as well. And so this is a critical case because Wisconsin, apparently they missed this during the Walker-controlled era, has an 8-point test for whether you're an independent contractor or an employee. And you can't be directing employees, set up their work conditions, and call them contractors, and then they get no unemployment. And the worker who filed the suit didn't get unemployment insurance when they only worked for one place and they were being directed by that place. The case found that Amazon fails 8 of the 9 tests, and therefore they're employees, and therefore they owe us a bunch of money we can put into, if we get a real legislature, public education, childcare, healthcare, the climate crisis, et cetera. And so this is critical, and it's going to affect the Ubers and Lyfts, whose business model is the same thing. They pay fewer taxes to everyone else. We have fewer services, and they create a system where they don't have the responsibility of employment, but they get all the benefit of employment. And they use teams of lawyers to get away with it. And it's flagrantly in violation of laws still on the books. And as long as we can hold the governorship, they won't be, I'm sure they'll repeal this if they get full control. So remember, not only do we take back the legislature, we need to hold the governorship because now this is on their radar screen that we have these rules that actually outlaw what our corporate benefactors who fund our campaigns want. We know where Robin Voss and company will be on that.
Well, folks, Robert, we are barreling close to the end of the show and the end of 2024. But before we do, I do want to make an announcement of some exciting news this week. We have a new co-sponsor to the BadgerCare public option bill, which was introduced last month. State Senator Brad Pfaff has signed on. We're really happy to see that. I know a lot of our members reached out to his office. I know our organizer, Christy Tweed was also, in contact with the state senator, and really appreciate that he signed on and is reflecting the will of folks to want to expand access to healthcare. Really important, especially Robert was just talk. We were just talking about the Amazons and these gig employers. The BadgerCare public option provides an opportunity for folks who don't really have access to healthcare, don't make big money, right? Family of four. Up to 60,000, you would have access to BadgerCare. Very important thing for a lot of working families. So we want to say thank you for the senator for signing on, and we'll put a link to everyone. We'll put the image in again to everyone who has signed on. If you don't see your state rep, your state senator on there, please call them, urge them. They need to sign on. Robert, other healthcare news. I do want to get your comment on the merger that's going to, it looks like, be happening between ThetaCare and Freightert. Yet again, another massive merger of healthcare systems. I can tell you one thing. The only thing that I know is sure to come out of this is increased costs for patients. Robert, am I missing something here? What? I mean, more healthcare mergers that seem to only benefit profits.
Yeah, and even Democratic government not using their leverage to prevent them because these are all nonprofits that have tax status and claim to be operating in the public interest, and they're not. I would just recommend Zephyr Teachout's excellent book, Break 'Em Up on Monopolies, that argues persuasively that Medicare for all will never work if we don't break up the hospital and pharma monopolies because it'll be like military contracting. You'll have to go nowhere else to go other than these giant monopolies, and they'll name the price, not us. And therefore, Medicare for All will not get its advantages it could. So, of course, I don't know. I see no opinion leaders really standing up at any level. Maybe there's some stuff federally I don't know about, but in the state, crickets, right? We have our ears to the ground here. And this is very damaging to people. And you talk about inflation. There's an area of inflation far more severe and damaging than the hand-wringing we do about the fluctuating gas price, which is $2.50 something a gallon now. And does Biden notice get credit for that? No. But anyway, so I think that that's an important thing to consider, Matt, is that this is about corporate monopoly taking control of our country. It's very much like the Gilded Age. And the hospital monopolies is a massive industry. The building cranes in any city are likely to be hospitals, major employers, low-road employers, by the way. And so we need to pay much more attention to this. But it's good for you to flag it, Matt.
We're gonna wrap this show up by talking about. I want to go back to the little disagreement Robert and I had earlier about Colorado and why I feel so strongly about the way I do. And I want to sort of close with this and give Robert an opportunity for some closing comments too. But look, I am super motivated about 2024 because I think it's. Yeah. I hate saying, I'm not saying the most important election of our life because everyone knows it. It's beyond that. It's an existential question for the country we're going to have on the back end. I do believe that. I take very seriously what Donald Trump has been saying the last month in particular, the words he's using, the language he is using, vermin, and talking about the left, us, talking about you, if you're listening to the show. Citizen action groups like us who organize. I believe we're on the menu if we lose this election. I'm very serious about that. And I believe very strongly in the power of elections and democracies if we do the work. And I have great confidence we can defeat Trump no matter who's on that ballot. But it is going to require our effort. It's going to require our agency talking to people, getting out of our comfort zone a little bit, understanding that democracy may require that of all of us. I mean, I've met people this year in this organization, like Logan Mishler, who was super nervous just to talk to anyone in the Janet Protasiewicz, but went on doors with me. And now he is trying to find his voice. We need more people like Logan who challenge themselves to find their voice, go out, talk to people, even though it makes them uncomfortable because they realize this democracy is fragile and it is in a very, very precarious place. 2024 is critically important for us. We can and will do well. I need you to sign up for this organization. We are focused like a laser beam on getting out and having these conversations. And I need you to get involved, join this organization. We're going to put the link into the membership. Please, for the holidays, if you know people who should be in this organization, give them the gift of membership. Sign them up for Citizen Action. Sign them up. Get them involved. Get them to one of our meetings. That's all I ask of you. Folks, have a wonderful holiday. Robert, what do you have to say to close out for our listeners?
Well, I can't really avoid the existential threat you laid out, Matt. So I'm going to discard the little state issue I was going to mention and just say that I mentioned how people are not really serious about the existential threat of climate change, even on our side, and a lot of environmental groups not. They seem satisfied with slow progress when that is no longer adequate. Donald Trump, former years of that, almost guarantees runaway climate change. He's going to drill, baby, drill, and they're telling lies that they'll lower your energy prices by drilling. It's not true. It's a commodity, and its supply can be controlled by other actors like OPEC. So it's ridiculous. It's just, and this is they're the one party that a major party in any advanced industrial country that is still denying climate change. Even conservatives elsewhere do not. So this is connected. This existential crisis, democracy, and climate change. But, since you mentioned healthcare at the end, Matt, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's a whole lot easier to prevent the end of democracy and rebuild it than it is to get it back when it's lost. And he should be, fascists, earlier fascists, and more recent ones in other countries have been very clear about what they're going to do, and then they've done it, and people haven't believed it. What he is saying to dehumanize average people, call them vermin, to say that they will stop at nothing, and he means anyone who's an active progressive or part of a progressive group, that they will stop at nothing but to destroy America and destroy the American dream, and he will go get them. He's serious about that. And he's serious about incredibly vicious things done to immigrants, okay? And I could go on, and to trans people, you name it. He is serious when people say, remember, this is the famous quote, as you know, when people tell you, it's Maya Angelou, I think, when people tell you who they are, believe them. And so we need to bear that in mind. We need to be really serious, but we actually be serious about rebuilding democracy. The alternative will be, if we lose it, a mass civil disobedience campaign. And that's a lot more pounds. It's an ounce for many pounds of cure, and that'll require tremendous sacrifices, but it will have to be done. I'm there. I'll take the risk. We'll see how many of you all join us. I think a lot of you will join us in the foxholes, but let's avoid needing foxholes, okay? And so, but then let's not just stop with Trump was defeated. We need to rebuild democracy and actually deal with our nation's problems and the actual problems of this world, and prove democracy, like in the 30s, could work again. Because I'll say this, people forget history. It was fought when FDR was taking control after a Great Depression had gone on for years and President Hoover wouldn't take action, that democracy had failed, it didn't work, that's why fascism was rising, and that FDR was going to have to be autocratic and suspend Congress. He didn't do it. The New Deal proved that you could make democracy work. We need to do that again, and that means we need to come out with a New Deal era and a post-war era like we did before, where we actually prove case on democracy. But the first stage is, you have to have that leader at the back end. And you know what? He's a transitional leader, but President Biden has gone far left compared to any Democrat president since LBJ, and will start a big structural way a lot of the things we've been lacking if he has a majority and if he's president, regardless of his age or everything else we're concerned with him about.
Folks, y'all have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you next year at the Battleground, Wisconsin. I want to thank our producer, Brian Wooldridge, for making this year and, again, the show, as always, happen. We'll see y'all next year in 2024.